Well, we're blessed to be with you today. How many of you ever heard the story about the fellow that was telling his wife he just didn't feel like going to church today? He says, you know, I just don't feel like going to church. And she says, well, you need to be there. And he says, you just give me one good reason why I need to be there. And she says, well, you're the pastor. And you know, that's what we're trying to dispel around here. I say that's what we're trying to dispel, is that vicious lie that because I'm the pastor, I need to be here. But because you're not a pastor, you can do whatever you please. You can make this pick and choose. You can take it or leave it. Listen, if you get into that attitude that I can do what I want to do when I want to do it, God won't be able to use you. You know, this old lie we tell little children, you can be anything you want to be. Listen to me, parents. Don't go around telling your children they can be anything they want to be. If you're Christian people, you trust the Lord, the only thing we're going to be is what God wants us to be. And every one of us has the responsibility to seek that out. I believe that every parent has the responsibility to seek out a mate for their children. You got an 18-year-old boy. Are you seeking for a mate for him? Are they looking for a boy for you? Maybe you don't. Are you just gonna stay unmarried? You one of those that's called to not be married? No? Okay. All right. Well, see, we believe that that's appropriate. I believe the Bible teaches that. Parents ought to be responsible. They ought to be helping their children find the one for them. How would you like to have been Isaac? How'd you like to have been Isaac? Isaac was 37 years old. 37. Dad says to Eliezer, it's time that Isaac gets married. I want you to go off over here to my relatives, my kin's camp. I want you to find a wife for him. Eliezer said, hey, this is a big job. What am I going to do? Abraham says, you better pray, boy. I'm telling this a little bit more Texas this morning than Colorado. He says, you better pray. You better go find him. And Eliezer prayed, and Eliezer said, Lord, show me the right one. Let it be that the one that belongs will come to me and say certain things. You remember that? Was Eliezer's prayer answered?
It was.
Isaac sitting back home. I remember there was a movie where Isaac walked up to his dad, Abraham, and he says, hey, Dad, do you think she'll be pretty? Abraham says, we shall see, son. Was she pretty? Oh, yes, she was a pretty girl. Pretty thing. But you know what? God chose a mate. And I believe that's what God's wanting to do for us. We can't be whatever we want to be. Did you know that's why there's 50% and above now divorce rate? Is because people think they know better than God. We've come so far from biblical Christianity. And by the way, we do some messianic things around here. Because I really believe that the roots of our faith are the roots of the Hebrew tradition. I believe that. And I don't do that because I want you to be Jewish. Most of us don't wear kippahs. Most of us don't wear the trappings, but I believe that we've been grafted in. But I'm not trying to make anybody Jewish. Some people said that when we first started studying in the law. Well, we're not Jewish. Well, I'm not Jewish either. At least I don't know if I am, and you don't either. But I'll tell you what. I've got a Hebrew heart. You know what a Hebrew heart is? What's Hebrew mean, Rosemary? You can tell them. Hebrew means one who has crossed over. One who has crossed over. Have you crossed over?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, that's why we've gotten into this, because we believe there's a richness of understanding in knowing Torah, which is foundational. It's the foundation. What most people don't realize is that Jesus, Yeshua, taught most everything he taught from the vast majority of it from the book of Deuteronomy. So what he spent a lot of time teaching from Deuteronomy, quoting from Deuteronomy. Now, he may have done a lot of teaching that wasn't recorded that we don't have in others, but I can tell you right now, Jesus taught from what is called the Tanakh. The Tanakh. You see it sometimes called the Law and the Prophets. Tanakh actually is just a word way, what do they call it, an anagram. Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which is the writings. Tanakh, it's not really a word, is what I'm trying to tell you. But it's just a way of remembering those. But Jesus taught from those things. It's the way he taught us. He taught everything he taught from the Word. Did you remember what he said? He said, I don't say anything unless my Father said it. I only say what my Father says. Did you know you can do that? How do you do it? Start speaking the Word of God. Amen. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. Did you know you can do that? And that's what I believe is going on here with Paul. I just want you to just let me do inside of you. Listen, if God does what he wants to do inside of any of us, you better believe other people are going to be affected. But you see, we've gotten the cart before the horse. I used to get involved in these things where they trained us to win souls. Well, winning souls is good. You can't go to heaven without having your soul won. Amen? You got to be born again. Everybody's got to be born again. We believe that. But you know, the way of getting people born again has been short-circuited. We've got it into the McDonald's realm. Come to my drive-up window. I'll give you the four spiritual laws and then move on down the road. And good luck. And that's really all you can say, because God bless don't work in a situation like that. You're disobeying him. We need to be discipling people. We need to be discipling people. And the way we do that is through relationship. And that relationship comes as we allow God to live out through us toward other people. And so as we're talking about our giftings, the grace of God is the title of this series. And by the way, we teach you in series around here, because I don't just want to give you a nice little devotion to carry home for the day. A little canned meal that you can carry around. Now, we do put these on CDs and we put them on. But you know, if you go through our website, you'll find out you can just study for a long time. I believe we've got several years of Bible school involved on the website right now. I said Bible school. Bible school. You see, what God really intended about discipling people was that the local church would do it. But we've become such a busy group that we think if we go to church one time a week, man, we've taken care of the duty for that week. Well, I want to tell you something. We ought to be looking at 4 and 5 days a week of coming together for teaching, for ministry. That's what ought to be happening. My Bible says this. You can check yours out. Mine says that we are supposed to exhort one another daily. My Bible says that we are supposed to come together more the often as we see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Told you about our daughter Kathleen having a dream the other night. Sitting in her car in this dream. And a lady who she described as a black lady, but not, she didn't look African American to her. She looked different. She said there was something striking about her. She knocked on her window. Kathleen opened the window. I started to do this. That shows my age, see. We don't open windows like that anymore, do we? She said the person looked in the window and said, Jesus is coming back. And there was a pause. And she said, she opened her mouth and said, tomorrow. And she tried to describe it to us, but she says, I can't describe how it was, because she said the voice became something different than a voice, but she says it permeated in every tissue and organ of my body. She says, I could feel it inside and out. She said, it just set me a tingle. And I said, Kathleen, did you know in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, in the first verse, the Bible says, lift your voice as a shofar. Did you know it says that? Lift your voice like a trumpet. Lift your voice like a shofar. She says, Dad, that's what it was like. She said, that voice became like a trumpet. And she says, when she said tomorrow, I knew she wasn't saying in the next 24-hour period, but she said, I caught the immediacy of the call. A couple of days later, she had taken her daughter to some youth event, and she said, we were sitting watching the children play. And this was a secular event of ice skating. And she said, they were just all having a great time. She said, they were having so much fun. And she says, they were just all enjoying themselves. And she said, all of a sudden, my eyes were opened, and I saw them all in hell. She said, they didn't know Jesus, and they were all ending up in fire. And she says, Dad, something strange is going on. She said, I walked out the next day, and I walked out, and she says, I looked up, and she says, written across the clouds is pray. She says, I'm sure a skywriter did it, but she says, you know, three things like that get your attention. A while back, Christy, where is Christy? Christy over there? Yeah. Christy was lying in bed one morning early, and the Lord awakened her. And she began to see visions. And they were not pleasant visions. They were visions of what is going to take place on this earth. She painted them. We're going to get a display of them and set them up here for you to see it. But she saw it. But you see, why does God do that with certain people? How many of you say, I kind of wish God would give me one of those? Would you like those? Well, I want to tell you something. God does it for people because He believes that they will listen to Him and tell others, and so that they will begin to make adjustments. You see, a lot of times we get things from God, we hear things, but all of a sudden, over a period of time, days go by, and we get right back into our old routine, and nothing changes. Well, I want to ask you something. Is Ezekiel right when God says, if I blow a trumpet and people don't respond, it's not my fault? I'm paraphrasing, you understand. That's what He's doing. He's blowing a trumpet for us. It's time. And it's time for us to come to the place where we begin to say, hey, we've been saying, oh yeah, He delays His coming. Did you know the Bible speaks that very clearly, that men are going to do that? Somebody told Henrietta one day, they said, you know, we've been hearing this for a long time, that Jesus is coming right away. And every year, and ever so often, we get a new thing that says He's coming soon, He's coming soon. And she says, you know, I just don't think it's going to be that soon. And Henrietta said, well, she says, you're a confirmation of Scripture. Yeah. The person said to her, what do you mean? And she says, the Bible says that people are going to say that. He is delaying His coming. He is not coming as soon as you think. For since the fathers, men have been saying that. That's what they'll be scoffers. But I'm telling you, people, in an hour when you think not, how many of you think He's coming right now? Well, see, that's an hour you're thinking not. You say, oh, I don't think He's going to come right now. You're thinking not. It could be right now. Because He said it'll be at that kind of time. In a time when you say peace and safety, then it's going to happen, sudden destruction. Now the good news is, if you know Jesus, praise God, and if you're walking in the light, you're going to be on the right side of the glory cloud. If you don't, you're going to be like the Egyptians, and you're going to be dwelling in deep, thick darkness. But good things are about to happen. And they're about to happen soon. You say, why'd you say that? Because the Holy Spirit told me to stop and tell you that. Holy Spirit said it's time to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to talk about how this all affects us. 1 Corinthians 12 says, For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And we're not going to read it all today, but the body, it goes on and it tells, you know, that if a certain part of your body, if your eye, for instance, said, well, I'm not an ear, so I must not be part of the body. What is that illustrating? Well, that's not illustrating, you know, as foolishly as you think, because in the body of Christ, remember, God is relating now a human body to what the body of Christ is like. And there has never been a time, I believe, when people are trying to be what they're not. They want to be what they're not. People have an attitude. They believe, well, if I'm going to be a part of the body, then I have to be a leader in this or a leader in that. But you know what? There's a lot of parts of the body that just do their function and nobody ever knows what they're doing. Am I right or am I wrong? In fact, you aren't even aware. You've got little corpuscles right now that are just working. Man, they're working. They're carrying nutrients. They're carrying oxygen around. It's just a corpuscle. Well, if I'm just a corpuscle, I'm going to quit. Tell you right now, nobody appreciates me. But you see, it doesn't make any difference how much a corpuscle wants to be a brain. He can't change. Or no matter how much an eye wants to be an ear, he could go to ear seminary, study all kinds of hearing courses and things like that, work on it for a long time, and you know what? That eye's never going to hear. And so that's what he's talking about. The body is one. It has many members. And all of those members, and we taught this a couple of weeks ago, they're vital. They're vital. And the truth of the matter is that every member of the body of the Messiah has a knowing on the inside what they are. You have a knowing on the inside where you belong. Now, I'm going to tell you that most of the members of the body haven't really taken their place. That's why we still meet like we do. Somebody said, well, Pastor, if you just do it right, we wouldn't meet like this. There wouldn't be that. We'd just kind of come together and everybody would. And I see it in my spirit. It's going to happen one day. That's what I'm talking about. Paul got up this morning because the Lord gave him something and he didn't rob the body. Did you hear what I said? Paul received something from the Lord and he was obedient and did not rob the body of its nourishment. Many people get something and they say, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. That's not my job. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be seen. I might make a mistake. And so they sit back and nobody gets it. But the body has different functions, different parts doing different things, carrying nourishment to different parts of the body. Doing things. And when we come together, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how is it then, brethren? How should it be? When you come together, what's supposed to happen? Every member has a function. Every member's doing things. And if they're not doing something, they're there receiving. And when they go out, they see the sign on the door that says, the service begins here. And when they walk out, they say, oh, wow, what a huge congregation I have. Right? And they go out and they begin to minister in the highways and the byways, not through just carrying the Bible around and passing out tracts, but through developing relationship with the people round about them and bringing them to a relationship first. And then, I believe, there's a natural move where people just come on in. Remember the woman at the well? Woman comes up to her. And Jesus says, hey, would you mind drawing me a drink? And she says, well, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. And not only am I a Samaritan, I'm a woman. Did you not notice? And Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. Amen. Now, I want you to notice he didn't say, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Let me give you a tract here. Study this. Come back in a few minutes. We'll talk about it. Did you notice? What did he do? He just began to talk to her, develop relationship with her. And that, I mean to tell you, that had an effect upon her, profound effect, a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman. Why, most of the Jews that she had known, when she came to the well, they would have gone to the other side of the street.
Religious crowd.
Mm-hmm.
There was no condemnation of what he said.
No. No. Not even when he got down to reading her life history. He read her mail right there in front of her. Go get your husband, bring him over here. Well, I don't have a husband. Yeah, that's right, you don't. And the fellow you're living with right now isn't your husband either. Right? You've had five, but or four, whatever it was. But the guy you're living with now is not your husband. Well, he didn't say, You're going straight to hell too, right? What'd he do? He just developed relationship. It didn't happen immediately. But in the sense that it could happen at that time before the Holy Spirit had been given, she became a believer, didn't she? And she just went back with what she had on the inside of her and said, come here, I want to show you somebody that told me everything I ever did.
This is not the Christ.
This is Him. And they come back together. You see what's going on? There's a call on the inside of Jesus to do that, to relate to people. That same call's in you, and you have that, listen to me now, you have that knowing on the deep down in your spirit. Every born-again person knows what they're supposed to be doing. But you know, most of us haven't found out in our minds. We haven't gotten it into the heart realm where we can begin to talk about it and do it. It's there. And so that's what we're talking about. The 18th verse, and this is really our text, says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Say it with me. Say, "God set me in the body." Say, "I please Him." That's what it says. God set. So does God make mistakes? Can you just envision this? Somebody gets born and God says, "What in the world are we going to do with this fella? Man, I don't know. Oh, just, no, that won't work. We've got too many over there. Let's." No, everybody born has a place. And that place is a specific, say specific place. Say, I'm a specific body part. I have a specific function. I fit in a specific place in the body. And God has given me specific associations. Did you know that? I associate in certain areas. You know, you might as well figure this out, that you're not going to be effective with everyone. See, one of the greatest revelations I ever found out was not everybody loves Pastor Terry. Some people don't want to hear me. God set me in a kind of a tough place. He set me in the Word of Faith. And I don't know if you know it or not, but those guys are called Name It and Claim It. Did you know that? The Name It and Claim It bunch. I have people quite often still, even people that come to the church here, will start telling me about the Name It and Claim It bunch, and they don't realize I'm one of them. Now listen to me. You've heard bad things about Name It and Claim It, but really it's biblical. It's just as biblical as it can be. You say what the Word of God says. And you're dumb if you don't claim what He says you should have. So yes, we're Name It and Claim It. Now, to be called that, that's kind of the same thing that Christian is. Did you know when Christian first came along? The believers were first called Christians in Antioch. Do you remember reading that in the book of Acts? Did you know that wasn't a complimentary term? Neither was Name It and Claim It. But you know, not only did He do that to me, but then He put me into studying Hebrew roots and ministering the roots of Christianity. And you know what? Guess what? That's just another place people don't like. And some of us are never going to reach people. Because they just have a negative attitude about those things. Besides that, as sweet as I am, my personality rubs some people the wrong way.
Amen, brother.
And so does your... And amen. Preach it, brother. But that's right. And so does yours, and so does yours. There's some people that want to be around you. You can talk to, you can minister to them. There are other people, you might as well leave them alone. And guess what? Some of those people are in your own family. You didn't know it, did you? That's why sometimes you can't reach members of your own family. Have you tried and sometimes been unsuccessful? You know, we had Henrietta's whole family, really. When we got married, none of Henrietta's family was saved, including Henrietta. I was saved and so far backslidden that even though Henrietta wasn't saved, she looked more saved than I did. That's a fact. Well, you know, we talked to her family some. But I couldn't say, maybe one sister that we really brought in and ministered to, and she really turned. But the rest of them, we prayed for them. And every one of them, listen to me now, every one. See, Henrietta has she has five brothers and sisters. She's six in her family. Her dad got saved before he died. Her mom serves the Lord. Her brother and sister sister-in-law moved to California. And her sister-in-law she was another backslidden kid. Lord brought them in. We got a sister and brother-in-law that live in Pueblo. The Lord brought them in. And He did it without us, other than we were praying for them. And so many times you have to pray for people, but then while you're praying, you need to be available for somebody else's brothers and sisters. Amen? You need to be available to love them and get to know them. But every one of them's come to the Lord. Every one of them knows Jesus. And that's pretty good, you know. That's what you want. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, what caused it? Well, because we weren't continually preaching at them, we could always just love them. And that's what we did. We loved them. We let love flow. And it got to where there was not this kind of abrasiveness that so many people. And they didn't go around all the time saying, well, he thinks he's better than we are. He thinks he's holier than we are, because we didn't want to put that out. You understand what I'm saying? So every one of us has a place. Every one of us is vital in the body. But we're talking about finding our place. Finding our place. And when we find it, begin to move into it. And if we read in Acts 13, we read about how Paul found his place. We actually begin to find out how that Paul found his place and how he acted upon what he found. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Say prophets and teachers. Now, these people that we're going to talk about here now, if you read, see, there's a semicolon. These are the prophets and teachers as, and it doesn't name all of them, but it tells the ones they want you to know about. Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Say Saul. We find out that this Saul is the one that later at least in English Bibles, is called Paul. I think we think something magic happened, but he still was Shaul. That's who he was. But when he was around Greek people, they probably called him Paul. Paulos. But his name was still Shaul. Was his name. And he probably still thought of himself as Shaul. But later on, when Greeks began to write about him, and we have Greek translations coming out, that name becomes Paul. But it says, as they ministered, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. See, that's what we want to see happening around here, is the Holy Ghost saying, and there be less saying by us. More saying by the Holy Ghost. I believe Paul told us what the Holy Ghost said. You believe that? Does the Holy Ghost talk? Did he quit talking as soon as the church was formed? You know, some people say when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I've had people actually tell me that means that when the Bible actually came out in its entirety, then there didn't need to be any more gifts. There didn't need to be any more healings. There didn't need to be any more. But you know, it also says knowledge will pass away too if you read that scripture. Do you believe knowledge is not needed anymore? No, of course not. We don't believe that. It's just taking things. It's how the devil worked to try to get the power out of the church. I'm welcoming the power in the church. Are you?
Amen.
Say, come power. Amen. That comes through the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When they ministered to the Lord, they spent some time, all of these people together. They were prophets. This wasn't necessarily the whole body together, but these prophets and these teachers. We don't know what they were at the time. Some of them may have been prophets and teachers. Some of them may have just been prophets. Some of them may have just been teachers. But as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate. Say separate.
Separate.
I want you to think about that word. What does it mean? Separate. Separate. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. I want you to notice it says, I have called them. Now apparently before this time, even though he had called them, they weren't aware of what that call was. Can you see that? Can you see that it didn't happen just through their own personal prayers? Not that it couldn't. But in this particular instance, it happened when the body was gathering. When people within the body were praying and ministering to God, the Holy Ghost spake in their midst. We don't know who he said it through. But I somehow, in my own meditation, I don't see him saying it through Paul or Barnabas. I think he said it from someone else. But the way I know my Father in heaven, I know that Paul and Barnabas had been having some thoughts. Something had been going on the inside of their heart. They'd been seeing themselves places and doing things, and they'd been seeing things happening. Now, were they in the ministry at that time when this happened? Yeah. The Bible says they were teachers and prophets. That's ministry, isn't it? Can you see that they were already active ministers? We don't know what they were doing. The only thing we know was that at that time they apparently were domiciled in Antioch. You know what domiciled means, right? Their home church was Antioch, and they spent their time ministering to the congregation at Antioch. And by the way, we're not talking about 350 people. From what history tells us, you know, we're talking 20 to 30,000 people in the church in Antioch. Big churches. We talk about mega churches today. I want you to know some of these early churches were big things. And so, you know, they had prophets, they had teachers, they undoubtedly had pastors, apostles. Do you see what I'm saying? They had ministry within the church, but these prophets and these teachers are praying together, and God says, hey, I've got a couple of guys I want you to separate out of the local for the work whereunto I have called them. Separate. Separate. I want you to separate them. Now, you need to understand this. We don't start out at our ultimate destination. While we're talking about this, we're not talking so you can see what happened to Paul. We're talking so you can see what happened to Paul, so you can see how this is going to relate to you. We don't start out where we're going to end up, do we? Thank God. Thank God. And let's just admit it right now. We haven't arrived. That's right. We're still on the move, but I've left. Amen. I haven't arrived, but I've left. Yeah. Praise God. We're not where we used to be. We've got a ways to go yet. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
We don't go immediately to where we're going to end up. When God calls us, so many times people think, this is it. This has to be it. I've got to do this. You know, we read about Philip. Philip was one of the first, what was called, deacons in the church. By the way, you ought to study it sometime. Maybe you'd find out how messed up people have gotten church governments. Because church government and the deaconry, deacon means a servant. He was a servant in the church, but the fact was, he was an administrator working in an administrative gift to help make sure that everybody got the right portion of the goods and the foods. The widows were taken care of properly. He was one of those that was the seven deacons. Remember, Philip, Stephen was one of them also. Now later on we find out that Philip had been separated from that work and went up to Samaria, where he was doing the work of what? An evangelist. And apparently he'd been called to do it, because the Bible says that God was doing tremendous miracles. Demons were coming out of people. Healings were happening every place. Do you see what I'm saying? Philip started as a member in the church. He became a deacon. And he moved on into a call that we don't know if that's the final one. I don't know where he ended up. But God had plans, and he's got plans for you, and some of them may change over a period of time. I believe Paul was set in the church at Antioch. Why was he there? He was there for training. He was being trained, and then he became either a teacher or a prophet. We don't know which. It doesn't tell us that. He was working, maybe both. But he was working in that church, prophetically or teaching the body. But all of that time was being used to prepare him for further call. You see what I'm saying? Now, we know what his call became because we call him the first missionary, don't we? He and Barnabas went out and they went on their first, second, and well, both of them didn't stay together, but they ended up, Paul went on 3 missionary journeys we know of, right? And then he went all the way to Rome. And what a lot of people don't know was he didn't spend his time in jail in Rome, but he spent his time in his own house in Rome, and people came to him. God was still using him as a minister. But God said, you got to separate yourself unto the call. Now there is a separated from, and there's a separated to. Are you getting that? Say it. Separated from, separated to. We need to get that down. In Galatians 1:15, we need to read this. It said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. What did he do? He separated him from his mother's womb. Aren't you glad that you all had a mother who could keep you in her womb for a while? But there came a time when you needed to leave the womb, didn't you? And you were separated from it. But I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. He said, at that time when he was separated from his mother's womb, he was said, and called me by his grace. Remember, we're talking about the grace of God in our call. We all have a call, but that call has with it enabling grace. Enabling grace. Grace is sufficient. Grace is more than enough. You want to know why grace is more than enough? Because God's more than enough. Amen. And His favor's more than enough in you. It won't just help you get by. I said it won't just help you get by. It'll put you over the top. Amen? It'll bring you into success. The grace, that call of God. Paul said, I was separated from my mother's womb and called by the grace of God. I was called by that grace on the inside of me. Paul knew about it, but you see, he didn't follow it. In fact, for a long time, he did just exactly the opposite of it. You know what he did? He went around trying to kill Christians. That's what he did. And you know, he could have ended up that way if he hadn't answered the call. If he had failed to answer the call, Paul could have ended up a legalistic Pharisee that was responsible for the death, and he was responsible apparently for the death of some, but of many, many, many. That could have been his lot in life. But he answered the call. He answered the call. You remember Ananias went to him after he was called on the road to Damascus. And then Ananias went in, and by the way, Ananias, just an ordinary Christian. Did you know that? It didn't say Ananias was a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, anything else. Ananias was just a believer in that town. God told him, go talk to Saul here. And go tell him that I have a call on his life. That's right. And his eyes were opened at that time. But you see, the call was going on. It's progressive. Can you see it? The call's going on progressive. And so Paul makes that decision that day. Yes, I'm going to quit kicking. I'm going to quit trying to struggle against God. I'm going to now go with God. This call came to him from his mother's womb. Been in him all along. He was zealous for God, but he just didn't have any knowledge about it. And so he began to do the wrong things. And then God got his attention. Oh, I tell you, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You say, I've wasted so much time. Somebody told us the other day, I'm 60 years old and I still haven't done anything. I think it's too late for me to do anything for God. I said, oh, don't, haven't you ever read about Moses? Yes. Moses didn't even start till he was 80. Oh, but that was Bible times. You don't need to tell me that. You've come too late to talk to me. I know better than that. I don't care. I plan to live to be 120. You guys can die earlier if you want to, but I intend to stick around and keep doing the work. Somebody said, what are you going to do, have a long retirement? No retirement in this pastor's future. I don't intend to retire. I exhort you, never retire. Retirement's not what we're called to. We can rest when we get to heaven. Amen? Probably can't, actually. He'll probably have plenty for us to do there. Amen. But you know what? You're not going to be tired. Quit saying I'm tired. I said, quit saying I'm tired. People go around talking tired all the time. I'm so busy and I'm so tired. I'm tired and I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm tired. Don't you get sick and tired of being sick and tired? You know, if you read this book a little bit, you'd know that you're calling those things which are as though they were, and you need to start calling those things which are not as though they be. You feel tired, stand up and say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can do it. How many of you have ever had your feelings change? How many of you have ever had your feelings change? They do it all the time. That's because they're fickle. Feelings change. You can change your feelings. You can control them. And you can control them with the Word of God. Don't talk tired and you won't feel tired. Listen, there's a tired that's a result of hard work and going to bed at night that's well deserved. But there's also a tired that is a state of being that people walk around all the time. And that kind of tired has to do with weariness, and that kind of weariness will kill you. Stay away from it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Oh, Pastor Terry, you'd go so slow. But I got so much to say. So much to say. So much. Paul was separated. Separated by grace. The 16th verse says, when it was time, He revealed His Son in me. And I believe that's what it really looks like when you yield to the call of God. I was meditating this yesterday. God reveals His Son in you. God reveals His Son in you. When you set yourself into agreement with the call of God, and you yield yourself to God's call on you, He can begin to do what Paul was talking about this morning. And that is, I believe it looks like revealing His Son inside of you. What does that do? How many of you think people might relate to you differently if they saw Jesus revealed in you? Now, everybody isn't going to treat you nicely. They didn't treat Him nicely. But they're going to treat you differently.
Fear not.
Amen? Paul said, it came time for Him to reveal His Son in me. To reveal His Son in me. But he said when that happened, he said, that I might preach Him among the heathen. And remember, that's what's happening there in Acts 13:1. That separation that's going on there in 13:1. He said, but immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. How many of you have ever shared something with somebody else that God told you to do and they said, oh, I'd go slow there if I was you. Man, I'd watch that one. I don't know if I'd go that way if I were you or not. Are you sure what you're getting yourself into? Well, there are people that'll do it, and that's why Paul said, I didn't immediately go to flesh and blood. And we know that it was 3 years before he went up to Jerusalem the first time, right? Isn't that what the Scripture said? For 3 years he didn't go up, but then he finally went up and talked with him because he just wanted to check his message out and just make sure he was right on. And that's good. That's good. In Romans 1:1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He's separated. Remember now? He's separated from some things. What did he separate himself from? What do you need to separate yourself from?
Flesh.
Huh?
Flesh.
Okay, let's go. You help me out here now. We need to separate ourselves from flesh. Not only ours, but others, right? From flesh. What else? What?
I don't know, bad habits.
Bad habits. Bad habits. What else?
Greed.
What?
Greed.
That's where the Bible has to come in and say endure hardness as a soldier. You know, to make any difference how rich you are, if you go into the armed services, you're going in as a GI. And that means government issue, right? And you belong to the government while you're in there. And guess what? You're going to endure some hardness. You can have a lot of money back home. Don't make any difference. I said, doesn't make any difference. You can have a big bank account and a nice car, but you're going to be walking. And your money doesn't mean anything. Well, see, God wants us to get ourselves into this line. Be a soldier of His. Belong to Him. Answer the call. Answer the call. I'm going to tell you what else we need to separate ourselves from. And this goes back to flesh and blood, but some of our old associations. Do you know some people are so at home with their old friendships and their old associations and the old places they used to go and the people that they talk to and the things that they do. And you know, some of them can never get their language right because they hang around people all the time that are talking dirt and filth and smut. And they hear it. It's going in their ears all the time. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I got bad news for those that want to hear other crud. So does other things come into your ears and you hear them. There's a story that I heard about a minister of the gospel who's been a very successful pastor for many years now. But before he became saved, before he got saved, he was a hopeless drug addict. This guy was the drug addict that other drug addicts came to get supplies. This guy was hopeless. He was in bad shape. He was so bad that his mind was fried. Now I'm talking about his former life. He's a successful pastor today. But somebody asked him one time, well, how did you come out of that? And he said, well, first and foremost, he said it was the love of Christians. He said, there were Christian people that God brought into my life, associations, that just loved me. And they didn't try to change me, they just loved me. And they cared for me, and they were there to help me. But he said, even after I got out of it through their love, he said, I kept thinking, well, I can go back to where I used to go. I can go to the same places. Maybe I can win some of these old friends. So he said, I kept going back, and he said, I'd go back and then say, hey man, try some of this. And he said, you know what? He said, I kept slipping back. I kept slipping back into the old habits because those old associations were so precious to me. The old friends were so important to me that because I couldn't leave them, I just kept going back to the same old stuff. And he said, I finally one day realized I cannot be friends with that same group and live a solid Christian walk, solid Christian life. And so he said, I told him, I'm sorry. I love you and I care for you, but I cannot be with you anymore. And of course, you know what the sound is. Oh yeah, you're better than we are now. You're a holy roller now. You're going to go, well, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You may have to let them say what they'll say, but you know, this is about survival. You got to find the call of God on your life. You're going to have to separate yourself from some of your old associations. Get rid of those personal agendas that we have. That's a separation. Listen, you know, you may have had this idea ever since you were a kid. One day I'm going to be a princess and live in a castle. I hope you haven't had that too long, Dan. No, that's not been Dan's idea. But there are. You know the fairy tales. And I'm going to live happily ever after, right? And we've got these agendas of what it would take, and we think about it. And those are the things that somehow in our minds we thought, oh yeah, we say, oh, I think God's leading me that way. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. That must be God. And we never realize that we've got our own hearts so programmed with our own ways and our own desires that God can't get through to you. I could tell you stories about programming your own heart. We do it. And then people come and tell me, well, God, I know God told me this. I just know it. In fact, I've been talking to someone recently, and they've told me a number of things that God told them to do. And then later on, I heard them say, you know what? I was being led by a false spirit. Well, I knew it. I knew it. But you know, when somebody's just absolutely sure of what they're doing and won't, you're not going to talk to them. I've told them, well, I don't have any confirmation on that at all. I got to tell you right now, I don't see anything in there. And you know, there's a lot of people, if they would seek counsel, they'd find out a lot of people don't have any confirmation on the way they're going. Now, it's not you're supposed to confer with flesh and blood, but sometimes it's good to find out. A multitude of counselors, right? Sometimes it's good to find out what others think, what others hear. You got to divide yourself. Say division. From your old way of doing things. Now, this may sound contrary to what we were just talking about. I can tell you right now some of the people Paul has associated himself with. And really, we could have him give some testimonies about people he's led to the Lord and how it's happened. And it may sound contrary to what we're saying because some of those people are far off, but I want you to know that the way this begins to happen is not for him being an association of theirs on their level. He begins to just love them and care for them and spend time around them, and they begin to see him and they begin to watch him and they see what he's doing. One of these days they come up to him and they say, Paul, I know you've had some problems in your life and I know you've had some rough times, but man, you seem to take it well. How do you do that? See what that does? It opens a door. Somebody said to me one time, I always knew there was something about you, but I didn't know what it was. Well, you know, eventually I was able to lead that person into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But they called me months later. See, I'm about halfway done. So the bad news is I'm going to quit. I'm not going to keep you here for a long time. I know some of you have plans. But I want to encourage you to meditate on what we're talking about. I'm going to go ahead right from this point next week. The Paul was a servant called. He was a servant called. And in order for him to answer that call, he had to divide himself from his former way of living. Are you listening to what I'm saying? As a prophet and a teacher in Samaria, or in Antioch. Get it into modern day way we think. Modern day is that probably, you know, they went home every night. They did certain things at night. Maybe every Tuesday night they ate at Chick-fil-A, right? And a group of them got together and bowled on Wednesday night, see? And that's all right. Those things are okay. Christians can do those kind of things. And maybe on there was a certain morning of the week they went out and they golfed together. Now, you don't believe that, huh, Hannah? But all of a sudden, Paul is called to something different. And that difference says you're going to have to leave home. You're going to be on the road. You're going to be doing things different. He had to separate himself from that old lifestyle, didn't he? There was a division between his old way of doing things and the new that was coming. Those new things that were going to happen in his life. He had to unhook from the old ways and the old associations. All of the old friends, the guys he was used to seeing every day. When he stopped in at Starbucks and got his morning coffee. He didn't get to see him anymore. He had to go somewhere else. Build new associations with people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to do that for God to use you like he wants to? Or is your comfort too important? Are you like so many people? Well, I'm 50, 60 years old. I've put in my dues. You know, a guy told me that the other day. I've done my hard time. It's time for me to have creature comforts. You know, we don't realize how people believe and how they act. They think that somehow this call of God is all about making them comfortable here on this earth. Well, I've got news for you. This world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen?
Amen,
brother. It's time for us to begin to look at these things. Separation by grace unto a disciplined lifestyle that God leads us into. We're going to talk about discipleship like crazy around here for a while. I say we're going to just get into discipleship and what it means. We're going to look at soldiers. We're going to look at athletes. We're going to look at farmers. All of them are examples of what it means to be disciplined. Disciplined, faithful people. That's what we're going to do. I'll leave you with this from the New American Standard Bible, Luke 6:40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. That's where I'm headed. Fully trained to be like my teacher. That's discipleship. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Get fully trained. I want to be like my teacher. I want to be like my teacher. I want to be like Rabbi Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's our teacher. Stand with me. Praise God. Praise God. Are you able to understand where we're headed here? You see where we're going? We're talking about finding your place. But you know, a lot of people have some knowledge of their place, but they're not willing to make the separation to enter into it. There's things that have to happen. Things that have to change. Amen. Father, we love you so much and bless your name today. It is a complete privilege to be able to come together in this house to proclaim the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you that you've taught us to prepare ourselves so that your Word can come from us. I thank you for it. And I thank you that the people that have sat here today, those that have ministered in this house today, that have come together here, gathered in one accord, Lord, that they have received the things of the Spirit of God. I say about them right now that they don't receive these things in the flesh, but their spirit is moved by these things because the natural man can't receive them. They can't know them. They're foolishness unto them, but spiritual discernment brings understanding of all of these things. And I thank you that everyone here today is moving on to that fulfillment of the call of God. As Paul said to us and quoted to us before, he who hath begun a good work in you will be careful, will be certain to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we believe you and thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and receive a blessing today. The Bible talks about the blessing that Aaron gave to the children of Israel. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And Father, you said that everyone that receives that blessing, you said, I put my name upon them. I put my name. Your life has been targeted by God for His name. Carry it proudly. Carry it out into the world and use that name that's above every name. Stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.